the most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Leaving town, thank goodness, Trump out of Pennsylvania. It's been the fifth time he's been in Pennsylvania since June. He was in Erie tonight. Stay away. Go away. Although, I gotta say, if him coming here continues Scott Wagner running probably the worst campaign that I've ever seen, and ensures that he is not anywhere near the governor's mansion, not even as a visitor, maybe it's okay. Because, Barlotta's not lighting the world on fire. Wagner's tripping over his, well, whatever. And it's not looking good for the Republicans, even when Trump spends, well, all of his time here in the state. I can't wait for November. Anyway, let's find out what's going on in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, great to be here. Yeah, it looks like this speech or the rally tonight, rather, may not have taken place. It looks like it was heading in that direction at a certain point this afternoon. But the president was asked a number of times and very forcefully said that, you know, they're going to take a look at it, but he's almost positive they're going to be moving forward with this rally. This was something that he said he owed to the thousands of people who he said were lining up around the block to see his speech, saying that they had been coming in from out of town and staying overnight to try to get a glimpse of him, and that he just couldn't possibly let them down, even though there is a major hurricane ravaging the Florida panhandle. So, you know, we've seen the president previously cancel rallies in the face of Hurricane Florence, but, you know, this time around with a couple of hours, you know, advance notice and the fact that this is a swing state and, you know, sort of an audience that he particularly wants to, speak to, this was decided to, let this move forward and take place.
There you go. Well, you know, at the end of it, like I said, if it means that Wagner keeps running the crummy campaign that he's running and Barlotta has no traction whatsoever, bring it on there, Donnie. Keep coming because it's not helping.
Well, you know, this also probably helps us in a small sense, in the sense that, you know, this is pretty much one of the president's primary psychological boosts. We know that when he doesn't really go on the, you know, campaign trail and when he doesn't have the, you know, throngs of people screaming, you know, lock her up and whatnot, he starts to, act out. So, you know, maybe this is for the best in a number of other ways as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it gives him something to do and you know, keeps his ego bloated. And yeah, so look, I'm not against it either. And look, there's always tons of great footage of the less than brilliant, you know, and the nonsense that they pull while going to these rallies, that for days afterwards you get to sift through.
Yeah, and, you know, from the president himself, you know, when he is fired up, he has a habit of sort of setting the agenda for the following day. You know, last time he had the rally, he really came close to almost harpooning the Kavanaugh vote. He made some comments that just did not rub some senators the right way. And, you know, gave people like you and me another day's worth of talking points, even though those were, pretty horrifying on the face of it. So who knows what we'll be talking about tomorrow morning. I'm sure there's going to be a lot to sift through. And, you know, this is not the last rally he's going to be attending this month. And the next couple of days, I believe he's going to two more. So he has a pretty busy campaign schedule.
Yeah, now wasn't he just in Iowa where he was talking about ethanol? Didn't Republicans used to hate ethanol?
Yeah, that was a thing. But now that Chuck Grassley is his best friend, it's not necessarily that surprising. And, of course, you know, the president has to make this a message about farmers. He is constantly running, even though he isn't, you know, jumping into the fray again until 2020. So this was his way to tie this into, you know, the whole make farming great again idea. And this isn't too far off from a lot of things that we've seen from Republicans previously. You know, usually any sort of conservative ideology is put on hold as soon as you start discussing farmers. You know, this is true for subsidies. This is true for ethanol. You know, that's something that as soon as you start speaking to, you know, the farmers or those in Iowa, that stuff just usually kind of gets thrown out the window. So not too surprising to see that message shift here.
Yeah, but it's always interesting to me. The farmers are usually the most conservative group, and yet, you know, the most one against welfare and all that. You have the largest recipients of welfare in the country. And you always go, wow, you know, hypocrisy much? No, just a lot.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it, right?
I mean, just, but we deserve it. We work for it. Okay. Yeah. I found it odd because Republicans were generally against ethanol, and most of my conservative friends were, you know, completely against it until here recently when they're not. So that,
yeah, I mean, that's just sort of how this usually goes, and it's been that way for, you know, quite some time. And, you know, that's something, you know, if we're going to, I guess, slow down your show, we're talking about ethanol, is something that goes through both sides, you know. It's not the most environmentally clean proposal, but we have seen, you know, Democrats support it when it means winning an election in Iowa in a swing, primary season, and, you know, that goes back at least to 2008 with Obama, so not too surprised to see that changing around there. But
at the beginning, I was in favor of it. At the beginning, when they were saying, hey, you know, this is a way for sustainable, you know, renewable energy, and, you know, and then I found out how bad it is for our cars and you know, just how, you know, it drives up the price of corn and all of that. I'm going, well, shouldn't we eat that instead? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough topic.
Yeah, it just is. I just find it interesting that, you know, again, you know, the whole hypocrisy thing where I try and stay somewhat within the middle of the road and say, you know, if I say something during the Bush administration, like tariffs is a perfect example. You know, all during the Bush years and all during the Obama years, I was saying, you know what, we need tariffs on China. We need some type of enforcement to bring our trade deficits down. Now Trump's actually doing it, and the people who were with me during those times, not so much. And yet I'm still consistent in saying, look, I don't like the guy doing it, and I think he's going to booger it up so that we never talk about tariffs again. But at some point, we've got to do something about our trade deficit with China. So I'm in favor of trying it. But a lot of folks not thrilled at all. So there is that. Let's move on. The White House has acknowledged that there are some high-level talks with the Saudis over the missing journalist, who I guess we assume has been hacked up and taken out the back door.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just a tragic and shocking case when you look at the fact that the Turkish government has put on the table for this. But the president yesterday said that he had no information about this, that he knew as much as everybody else, which was nothing, and that he had no updates. And then today he almost reluctantly, I guess, let slip out that he has had very high-level talks with Saudi officials over this. You know, when we were in the Oval Office today, somebody asked him, have you spoken to the Saudis about this? And he said, well, I really would prefer not to say, but yes, I have. And that sort of let it all move forward there. And what we're getting now is a total reversal from the White House over how exactly they've been handling this, which, you know, make no mistake, is a very tricky geopolitical issue. But, you know, instead of just saying, I've seen nothing and backing away from it, we now have the president saying that there have been high-level talks, that the U.S. is going to get to the bottom of it, and then the press secretary letting us know that John Bolton has apparently been having behind-the-scenes discussions with the Saudi Crown Prince, that Jared Kushner has been doing that, and that Mike Pompeo has been following up on calls as well, and that this is a much broader in the administration push than we, you know, realized just one day ago. You know, when the president avoided that question and when Mike Pompeo, you know, came out and gave us a little statement and refused to take any questions on that. So a lot can change, and it kind of, I guess, shows a few things. One, how pressure can kind of impact the administration, and two, just sort of the fact that they aren't necessarily the fastest on the uptick when it comes to these, you know, major issues as well, and at least, you know, crafting a message on things that actually make sense beyond just, you know, sheer optics and sheer brutal, politics.
Yeah, and you know, it appears like they're just winging it, and they don't actually know what they're doing. But you know, part of me goes, you know, how much of this plays into the whole, because evidently there's some strife between us and the Saudis on the oil front. The Trump administration has told the Saudis they want more production. The Saudis have said no. It's not a production problem. It's a speculation problem. So from what I've been led to believe, there's some tension there. And this can't help.
Well, and this is also, coming up against a lot of resistance in Congress. We had Senator Bob Corker, who's on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, calling for an investigation via the Magnitsky Act. This was signed by all of the Republican members of the committee, except for Rand Paul. From there, we also have a lot of sticking points when it comes to arms deals, when it comes to certifications for, Saudi activity in Yemen for the civil war that's going on there, and the support and the proxies that we're seeing there. So this is a very big issue, and one where you would expect, hopefully, to have sort of a nuanced hand with it, but instead we have Trump who sort of, I guess, accidentally reveals his hand in the Oval Office, and it was just an interesting scene. It actually resulted in a round of laughter, just based on how
he's getting laughed at a lot here lately, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a thing, and this didn't really seem like a laugh line. This was one of those things where you couldn't really help but just realize that this is real life and just be kind of shocked by that.
Yeah, every day I wake up with that same feeling, every day. And let's move on. FBI Director Christopher Wray has come out and said that there was some involvement by the White House in the Kavanaugh probe. Are we surprised by any of that?
Yeah, so this was during testimony on the Hill today. He said that there was efforts from the White House to limit the scope of the investigation, and then said that this was something that is not necessarily out of the ordinary and typically is what the FBI has to deal with in terms of constraints for any time they go back at an issue that's been, that reaches back a number of years. But either way, this counters the claim that the White House put forward a number of times in which they said, we're going to give the FBI free rein on this. We've transmitted that message to them numerous times, and now the first time we've had a public statement from the head of the FBI, that just seems to counter it. And, of course, in the larger picture, we love relitigating the 2016 election, 2 years after the fact. Now we have a Supreme Court justice with a lifetime appointment, one that's directly tied to, both Trump and Trumpism. So luckily this is going to be something that we're going to be dealing with for years and years and years and years. So there you go.
My grandchildren will probably know about it. We'll most certainly have to live under this. And that not a good thing in my view, because this week is the beginning of the Kavanaugh era as they've begun hearing cases already, right?
So far it's been, there aren't major front page hot button issues that are moving forward right now, but there have been a couple of things that have been put forward that I don't believe he's had his official name on for. I'm trying to remember what they've been dealing with. One of them was a three stocks issue when it comes to gun ownership. As this moves forward, this is going to be a bigger issue, and this is the Kavanaugh era. We know that he is going in there as somebody who has publicly thanked the president, publicly attributed, his rise to the president. And that's something shocking. And, the larger fact in all of this is that now John Roberts is considered to be the, swing vote that, progressives or liberals can try to find some kind of hope in. And that's a pretty, pretty dismal thought.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath on that one. I'm not, which again is another reason why, this election cycle, so very important. And finally, you got to see Nine Inch Nails last night.
That was, after a day of bleakness covering the White House, it was good to go see something emotionally uplifting like Nine Inch Nails. That was a wonderful transition.
Yeah, good for you. No, I, you know, being from Cleveland, the band was founded there. I years and years and years ago, I had heard of them there, and then obviously they rose to, you know, mega fame. But good for you. Good for you. You need a little bit more in your life than just Trump in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, this was a good addition, and I, you know, it's always good to feel like a, you know, bratty, angsty teenage boy again. And, you know, considering I've been on tour since 2009, this was a perfect time for that to come out.
Good for you. Good for you. You need a break every once in a while. It's always great to talk to you, Justin. Thanks so much, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Rick.
Our good friend Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. I think I need to do something like that here soon. Just one of those breaks from reality, one of those, you know, things that you go, screw all the nonsense going on in politics and live your life for a moment. You need that every once in a while. At least I think so. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.